Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. I came to the Lord through music. Anyone who's heard about my testimony. Praise and worship has played a very large part in all our lives, whether we realize it or not. And the more I got thinking about it, the more I felt that we need to hear a little bit about more about praise and what praise and worship is. I want to read I got a wonderful little book here. It's 1001 quotes, illustrations, and humorous stories. I just want to read a quote. It's a very short little quote. It's from Timothy J. Christensen. It's about worship. If worship is just one thing we do, everything becomes mundane. If worship is the one thing we do, everything takes on eternal significance. Let me read that again. If worship is just one thing we do, everything becomes mundane. If worship is the one thing we do, everything takes on eternal significance. And how true that is. Amen. You know, we sing songs of praise and worship, and our music is such an important part of our service, but it does go much beyond that. Ask the question, why do we praise the Lord? And why do we worship Him? There are hundreds of scriptures about praise in the Bible, but I chose this one. And if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Starting in verse 3. And we're going to read. A little more difficult for me handling a microphone also here. We're going to read from verse 3 through verse 14. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he preached to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious, which he has freely given us, the one he loves. Excuse me. In love, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom. He has made to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in community with the purpose of his will. Everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit of our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. When we say, we've done it so many times, when we say God is good and all the time, God is good. When we say that, has anyone ever asked, why is he good? Because it's certainly not because we deserve it, or because he feels the need to buy our love and allegiance with his benefits. The psalmist prays for God to bless him so that, as it says in Psalm 67, verse 2, the Lord may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. Or excuse me, let me repeat that. The Lord's way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. God's daily blessings are proof positive that he is indeed good. He's a good God who cares for his own. But by the same token, how will our world know about the Lord, this about the Lord, if we don't praise him for his goodness to us? This is why I'm so glad that we have testimony time, because it's so important. And we always need to remember that whenever he blesses us, we need to be sure to look for the ways to give him all the credit. Because the thing is, if we just consume his blessings without telling of his goodness, it shortchanges the very purpose of his gift of grace in our lives. Amen? Now, when it comes to worship, our worship should extend far beyond these four walls. When we sing, it should extend the same as his forgiveness. His forgiveness is as far as the east is from the west. And that's how far our worship should extend. Turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm sorry. Chapter 12, verse 1. Okay. Pastor Rick covered this last week, but I'd like to add a little more to this. The word says, Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Amen. In some versions, spiritual, the word spiritual is changed, and the word used is reasonable act of worship. I present what is reasonable in God's eyes is just a portion of our heart reasonable, or is all of our heart reasonable? I mean, he gave his all for us. Amen?
Amen?
You don't have to turn there, but in John 12, verse 3, just before Jesus was crucified, a woman named Mary poured a bottle of expensive perfume on his feet. Then, in what may have been even a more daring act, she wiped his feet with her hair. Not only did Mary sacrifice what may have been her life savings, but she also may and probably did sacrifice her reputation. During that period, respectable women never let their hair down in public. But true worship is not concerned about what others think of us. To worship Jesus, Mary was willing to be thought of as immodest and perhaps even a little immoral. And I'm sure there are some people in the body of Christ who feel pressured and feel that they have to be perfect when they come to church so that others will think well of them. You know, they're the kind of people that every hair is in place, everything, and nothing's out of line. You know, the type of people who have to clean their house before the cleaning lady comes to do her job. But a healthy church, and I believe that this is a healthy church. A healthy church is a place where we can let our hair down and not hide our flaws behind a facade of perfection. We should be able to reveal our weaknesses to find strength rather than conceal our faults and appear strong. Worship doesn't involve behaving as if nothing is wrong. No. It's making sure everything is right. Right with God and right with each other. And lastly, it's one thing to worship and praise in church, but it's quite another to move out into the real world and worship Him through our daily obedience. Is our worship confined to a church building? Or do we continue to worship Him by obeying Him in our daily lives, looking for an opportunity to serve and bless others? I was raking my lawn yesterday, which seems like a insurmountable task because there's no end. And I was thinking about, what about just being good stewards of what God has given us? Taking care of our homes, taking care of our yards, taking care of our vehicles that we drive, taking care of anything that we have. Do you know that that is a form of worship also? Because even though it's ours, it's really His, right? So we need to take care of what He's given us. So I just want to encourage all of us to always look forward to worshiping here. I know I do. But let's also ask God to show us ways that we can continue to give Him the praise and worship that He deserves wherever we are and whatever we're doing. Amen.